Hello and welcome to this Market Outlook for 2024 discussion sponsored by PSG Wealth. Now, 2023 was a challenging year for investors from a resilient US economy and a slowly recovering Chinese economy to decade-high interest rates and geopolitical upheavals. As we move into the new year, we believe that 2024 could be just as volatile as 2023. The two key themes for the year are elections and interest rate cuts. But what else, should investors expect this year from a market's perspective? My name is Mliwa Gavaza, writer with the Business Day and Financial Mail, and I'll be your host for what looks to be a really great and engaging conversation. Joining me today is Adrian Pask, who is the Chief Investment Officer at PSG Wealth. Adrian, good to talk to you for the first time in 2024.
Hi, Mediva. Yes, indeed it is. Hopefully a good year for all of us. It's good to be on the podcast. Thank you.
No, most certainly. I think where we can begin is, are your current market expectations for this year different from those that you had, for 2023?
I think in terms of expectations, quite similar in terms of where we thought the risks are, where we think the opportunities are, etc. But I think the markets will behave somewhat differently. So there's some similarity in terms of volatility. Last year had some geopolitical events introduced volatility into the markets, but I think this year is going to be quite volatile. The market's looking with a microscope at any inflation news, any interest rate news. Predictions are changing on a weekly basis. Nobody can even make a hint at a certain direction, and the market seems to react to that. But in terms of the rates, I think it's going to be usually positive. Broader equity markets should go up. There will be pockets of disappointment as well, though. And bonds and property should do really well. Those are the asset classes that historically were neglected, and sentiment was just quite poor. And interest rates going up is not positive for that. But we've now taken all the pain, and we're at the top of the interest rate cycle. So actually a very good starting point, because from here we'll be looking at cuts.
So when we are looking at, the state of the market now, Adrian, there has been a lot that's been going on. 2023, some people thought that it would be the year when we were going to start to see things coming down in terms of rates, in terms of inflation. That hasn't really materialized. What factors are influencing, the expectations that you have?
Yeah, I think in terms of the volatility, and in particular on currencies, that's largely impacted by sentiment and change in interest rates. On the sentiment side, elections play an important role. So similar to the news that's being watched so carefully in terms of interest rates, inflation, the same thing is happening in terms of the various elections around the globe, which is quite material. There's been a lot in the media being published around the sheer volume of the elections, and the 20% of the global population will have the opportunity to vote this year. So with that comes a lot of questions, and a particular attention to any hints at policy change and reforms that could impact the economic prospects of countries and businesses. So that's quite important. The reason why I'm a bit more bullish on equity markets in general is, as I mentioned, interest rates just coming down. So we've been through a very painful period in 2022, and then 2023 was slow, other than for what we saw in the tech space. But it's our view that interest rates should be coming down abroad, and then locally, we'll follow the US down in the second quarter of this year. And that will be very supportive for the macro backdrop. So obviously, looser money conditions, cheaper credit available, very positive for consumers and consumer spending. And then the pockets of pain that we think is going to come still relates to what we saw in the tech space. It's one of those that you cannot expect the sector to continue to become more and more expensive, and the rating to just continue to go up. We already saw with the results from Google and Microsoft earlier this week that the results aren't bad, but they're just not up to expectation, and then the markets start to react negatively On that particular day, the markets were down 6%. So in the tech space in particular now. So I think we're seeing that view coming through. And then the view on bonds and property is 100% based on the interest rate cut. So as we see interest rate cuts come down, typically the yields will also start to come down and they will follow interest rates down lower. So the bonds will do well. The longer bonds, even better because they've got more interest rate exposure. And the property sector as well, which would be a huge surprise because the sentiment in that space is really terrible. We can see it in the valuations, but we already saw in December what happened as the markets start to lower the discount rates for the valuations and the sector actually ending up in December was essentially all the gains for the year and ended up as being the best performing asset class locally. So I think much to the surprise of many, but as we see a longer but slower path of rate reductions, that will be a nice tailwind for that space.
There is a lot that's going on, Adrian, and whether it's rates to the inflation, like you said, a big part of it is going to come down to how people vote this year. I saw, quite an interesting statistic the other day to say that there are over 70 elections that are going to be taking place in 2024, 15 of which are said to be on the African continent. South Africa is going to the polls, and the US is probably the election that many people will be looking at. Huge impacts in terms of markets. So how do you see voters in the US playing out, this particular election? How do you see it happening? Like, what do you see playing out?
Yeah, I think you're right, especially in the US, so important, because remember with the elections in 2016, there were so many predictions made around who's going to win the election and what's the impact on markets. And it actually made for such an interesting case study, because I think the majority of market participants said that Trump won't win that election. And if he does, it will be negative for markets. And he ended up winning it against expectation, and it was actually positive for markets. And he sort of set the tone for very business friendly environment. We saw it on taxes. We saw it on cut downs of regulations. We saw a lot of internal focus on the US focusing on itself and not being too generous to foreign countries. So a lot of the nationalization component of it. So it's always difficult to predict these things. But what we have to work with at this point in time, and it is early days because remember, this election is only scheduled for November. But what we do have to work with today is the preliminary polling data. And that seems to suggest quite strongly that it will be a Republican victory and Trump will be in the office for another term. So quite interesting to my mind. It feels quite strange. It's a sort of a political situation where emerging markets are often criticized for the audit in the political landscape. But if you look at all the controversy that's been following Trump around, it almost becomes unthinkable that US voters will put him in again. And many people tend to be quite sensitive around a wide range of social issues. But for some reason, they're not oversensitive to Trump's antics. So it's going to be really interesting. If that materializes, like I mentioned before, I think expect more of the same of what we saw in 2016, inward focus, less regulation. The one that does stand out is his ability to implement measures to reduce the tax burden. Because remember, that was a key component of his previous term. But if you look at the fiscal situation in the US, that has completely changed. There isn't really much scope to provide additional fiscal support. The US government is heavily indebted. The municipalities are heavily indebted. So it's going to be really interesting to see what he does with the tax side of things. I would think you would want to work on the taxes again. Under the theory that if we grow the pool of taxes, we can afford to reduce the taxes because there will be more taxpayers because the economy will be growing. It's quite a big call to make because if you're wrong, you're staring down even a higher debt to GDP level. So that's definitely one that's going to be interesting over the next few years should Trump step into office.
Yeah, very interesting set of circumstances in that particular election. Like you said, the probability that Trump is going to come back has been, a lot of people are predicting that that's going to happen, which given the last term, you know, seems a bit counterintuitive. But nonetheless, that's what's happening in that market. How do you think the current interest rate environment will impact different markets, you know, when we then take all of this into account?
Yeah, so under the current outlook, we see more favorable conditions and looser monetary policy. That will be positive for markets, I think. But, you know, we often see investors create very direct and very strong links between economics and markets. And that's not always the case. It's what we've seen now in the US in particular is the tech space rallying quite hard, pulling up the S&P 500, but most of the stocks, they haven't really performed very well. But if we start to see a reversal of that trend, it's going to be interesting. My prediction would be is that we're funny enough going to see under the looser conditions, those small businesses that struggled actually do quite well. They'll probably rewrite upwards of the multiple expansion, and then they'll generate some value for the S&P. But I also think that because the market is so positive on the tech stocks, and if they even just have small misses, I think that can drag markets down more broadly. So that's interesting. We remain skeptical, as you can hear, of the prospects for growth stocks, just because the forward earnings expectations are way too optimistic. And as I mentioned, the currencies will be quite volatile. There's been a few anomalies in that space as well, because traditional economic training, anybody that goes through varsity and studies interest rates and currencies, you're typically taught that the difference between the two inflation levels of a country should give you indication of where you can see which currency will do well or not so well. So, for example, typically South Africa has a higher inflation rate than the US over the long term. Therefore, you should expect the rand to depreciate over time. But what we saw more recently is high levels of inflation in the US and at some periods even higher than what we saw in South Africa. And yet the South African rand just continued to be sold off. And it's just a reprioritization of what goes into the models in terms of how people look at the South African rand. We had a lot of idiosyncratic things happening in the country between Eskom and the politics and all the other negative things that everybody is aware of. So that will be interesting. But generally, I think the broader impact on most asset classes will be positive. So as I mentioned before, for bonds and property, it's a great move. Also keep in mind that we've actually seen a lot of assets flow into money market instruments, both locally and abroad, as investors become more and more conservative. And that money, if it was to find its way back into markets, will also be a good tailwind for better performance.
Now, we certainly can't ignore, you know, the fact that all of these considerations that we're making, as much as we talk about the elections, you know, closely tied to that is, you know, political considerations of a different nature. That's your geopolitical considerations. You know, Russia, Ukraine surprised many of us. You know, when it happened, and it also surprised financial markets. Now, you know, there's escalations and the tensions, the conflict that's happening between Israel and Palestine is a huge thing that a lot of people are looking at. So how has the Israel-Hamas conflict affected that global geopolitical landscape?
It seems reasonably contained. Therefore, markets have sort of tentatively just continue doing what they do. But it is one of those type of scenarios that can very easily escalate into something else. And it feels like that's the normal path for these geopolitical tensions between countries. You know, last time around with Ukraine and Russia, the sensitivity was, when would NATO step in? Obviously, if there's a contravention and NATO is prompted into action, that could then essentially prompt a far wider type of conflict involving more parties, etc. And even at that point in time, there were talks around a potential World War III, that if this thing isn't handled properly. And again, yeah, it's quite similar. So the main fear is not so much the existing players, but What happens if Iran gets involved, and what happens then if the US starts to get more involved, and the crackdown on Iranian oil exports could have a huge impact on oil prices, for example. So, I mean, from what we've seen is we could very easily see an almost instant removal of a couple of million barrels of oil per day. So in that, it's as we try to look at it from a lens of wherever there's risk, there's also opportunity. So it's one of those that we need to keep a careful eye on, and see how that one goes. And also there's some contradictions in markets. So on the one hand, if growth is slower, which is the IMF's prediction, that will put pressure on the oil price. But if there's conflict, then that will be something that impacts supply and therefore also the prices of oil and the profitability of oil businesses. So it's just one of those that we need to keep a very careful eye on. I don't think anybody can make a prediction as where either of the two large conflicts will end and what the next conflict will be. Our approach is always just to say, keep a highly diversified portfolio. That's the best you could do. Invest in the things you like and where you see there's opportunity. Don't take excessive views, just in case you're wrong, which happens, all the time, in portfolios. Therefore, don't, put all your money into one or two, big things like this.
It's having looked at the world, we want to turn our focus to the domestic market. South Africa is going to the polls this year, huge election year, for the National Assembly and provincial legislatures. A lot of people wondering, whether the ANC, will be able to, win the way that they normally do, at the polls. In your view, should the African National Congress be worried?
I think our base case for an outcome in May is an ANC-led coalition. And I think the market's sort of preparing itself for that type of a scenario. But I think more directly to your question, I think the ANC should be worried. Maybe not for this election as much as what they should be worried for the ones that the subsequent ones, because what we see very clearly is the erosion of their supporter base. So especially amongst younger groups, there's a large cohort of the older, senior population that continues to vote for the ANC. But what's interesting in the youth groups is that it seems like either the youth is becoming a little bit more despondent, so that they don't participate in elections, they don't see the value in politics or voting. And the second thing is, if they do vote, they typically vote somewhere else or have different views or other parties that more aligned with what they want to achieve or think. So definitely erosion of that advisor base, and as the more senior voters and supporters pass, and the younger youth start to look elsewhere or do nothing from a voting perspective, there's a lot of headwinds into the space. So I think it is definitely a wake-up call for the ANC. We're going to have to see some delivery and some positive outcomes if they wish to protect the support that they have.
When it comes to the South African government and elections, probably a big issue that is on voters' minds is, certainty around power generation, electricity. That's probably one of the things, you mentioned the fact that the ANC should be worried. Whether we're talking about voter apathy, whether it's this election or the next one, some of the big considerations is the quality of life and ease of doing business, and load shedding is a big part of it. Do you think where we are now, we've seen the worst, of the load shedding crisis?
I definitely think so. So again, a very big positive for South Africans. What we've seen is really, with all the IPPs coming online and also, businesses in their own private capacity, making sure that they're more self-sufficient has reduced the load onto Eskom to provide, which obviously frees up capacity for others. So it is a case of we'll see fewer load shedding hours, which is our view, and quite significantly so compared to last year, which was terrible from that perspective, as we all know. But the other thing is, for the businesses that had to shield themselves from this crisis, they had to incur a lot of investment to make sure that they can continue to do business, and that obviously has an impact on spending and therefore also profitability. But once that investment is made and you can continue to do business, you see your revenues recover and you see your costs decelerate from that high base because you had a once-off investment to get yourself into a position where you can do business. Obviously, they still need to provide for the maintenance of a very expensive infrastructure, and it eventually needs to be upgraded and replaced. But immediately after investment like that we've seen in the last couple of years, the cost load is certainly a lot less. So our expectation is more volume growth, so more sales, and less cost. And that's going to be very, very positive for company earnings.
With everything that we've spoken about, Adrian, let's wrap it up by getting your sense of where and what the advice is for investors in 2024. We've spoken about elections, interest rates, inflation, geopolitical tensions. What's the advice?
Yeah, I mean, you can tell from the conversation that there's still quite a few risks around. So the mainstay advice for such a scenario is be selective and diversify. And you never know exactly what's the next thing that will surface. I mean, what we've spoken about on this podcast is really the known risks, and there's unknown risks that still need to surface as well. So and you as much as what you can plan around the known risks, there's not much that you can do other than diversify yourself to be prepared for whatever unknown risks then transpire. But I think my advice would be more to say, hang tight. It could be quite volatile, but also be positive. It's a very good year to be positive. If history is to be believed, interest rate cuts are very good for equity markets. And at the same time, if the load shedding is dissipating, then that's a further motivation to be positive. So I think in summary, hang tight, be positive.
So hang tight, be positive. Those are the words of Adrian. It has been a really great discussion, just discussing the outlook for 2024. He mentioned a number of different factors, expectations for 2024 versus 2023. The fact that this is a huge election year around the world, and it's going to affect global markets, especially some of the action that's likely to come out of the US election. Also, the geopolitical tension. This is something that they are watching. This is something that they keep an eye on. And he says this is one of the reasons why they keep a diversified portfolio going. So that's where we end off for today. That's been it in terms of our Market Outlook for 2024 podcast, sponsored by PSG Wealth. Thank you so much. We were in conversation with Adrian Pask, who is the Chief Investment Officer over at PSG Wealth. Adrian, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Mitiwa, and thank you to everybody that listened. Appreciate it.
So that's been it. I've been your host, Mudiwa Gabaza, writer with the Business Day and Financial Mail. Remember that you can subscribe for free episodes on iono.fm, Spotify, player.fm, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts.